Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
Warm welcome to John Gibbons.
Hello.
Hey, Gibbo. And alongside you, Nick from Married to the Sea. Hiya, Nick.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Gibbo is an absolute media one of those. You would not have been able to turn your head without seeing Gibbo on your TV screen talking about tickets, on your radio, of course, and of course the Anfield rap as well. The Anfield rap was brilliant last night, by the way. I was listening on the way.
Great.
And of course, you got rid of that Neil Atkinson. Yeah, sent him off to America.
He's gone, yeah. He's gone to seek his fame and fortune in America. So yeah, I'm the new host.
He should be worried. He really should be. You made an imprint there that he might struggle to match. Anyway, let's talk about local music. It's always on at this time, and each and every week we're going to promote some other bands later on in the show. But you brought in Nick from Married to the Sea. Nick, local lad?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you Formby lad?
Yeah, posh local lad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it counts. It's got an old postcode, it counts.
Oh, you've gone out of the city centre here, haven't you, Gibbo? Tell us about Married to the Sea. First, what do you think the first thing I thought when I saw the name Married to the Sea?
I don't know.
Nautical.
Well, yeah, we say this, don't we? Yeah, every band in Liverpool's got a slight nautical theme. You know, we've talked about the shipbuilders and things like that. And it's in the city. It's in our blood, isn't it?
Where did it come from, Married to the Sea?
It actually came from, I don't know if you've seen the film Rushmore. It's a Wes Anderson film, but there's a line in that where his dad says to him, "You're like a shipper clip captain. You're married to the sea." And I kind of like the idea of that restlessness.
Ah, right. Yeah. So you just weren't on Formby Sands or something like that. You've gone through the Red Squirrel Reserve.
Not quite that obvious, no. But, I don't. I like those associations. Like, you know, who doesn't love the sea?
Yeah, it's nice. So. How long's the band been together and sort of where did it all start for you guys?
This is one of those questions where people ask it and then you kind of give your last answer and then you realise 3 years has elapsed since you last answered that question. But it's been about 6 or 7 years now. And it was kind of formed from the ashes of previous bands that we were in. And I think one of the reasons that it's been a little bit, I mean, it's not that we're huge, of course, but one of the reasons it's been a little bit more successful than our last bands was because there's a tendency, I think, when you're not kind of professional to start taking it too seriously, to start to question, you know, why aren't we on the radio? Why aren't we making money from this? And it gets to the point where you're not even enjoying it anymore. And I think we were all in bands that we'd got into that situation and we thought, do you know what? Let's just start having fun again. And as soon as we did that, you know, we started to have a few more fans. And I mean a few more fans.
It's three. It's almost the problem with being, and I'll relate that to radio as well. It's almost like you want people to say, that's great radio. Yeah. When it doesn't happen and people don't tend to do that, they're more likely to email you and go, that's rubbish radio.
Yeah.
You tend to take that very personally, don't you? I would imagine that's very similar within music. Not people saying it's rubbish, but you're maybe not getting the feedback, the amount of feedback you want on it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that faint praise really bothers me more than if someone has a strong kind of negative reaction. I can totally appreciate that because, you know, music is different, genres are so different. But yeah, I mean, you'd rather have one person absolutely love it and say, you know what, I just broke up with my girlfriend, boyfriend, and I've been listening to this song constantly and it's been a real comfort to me, rather than just, yeah, that was all right, that was kind of catchy. Or, you know, at gigs the worst thing is, you know, nice singing, that was tight. You know, no comment, no comment whatsoever on, you know, song craft. Yeah. Or
you've rehearsed really well.
Yeah, yeah. You've clearly been practicing.
Can you relate to this as well, yeah, Gibbo, as a performer and artist?
Definitely. You know, yeah, the things that people tell you that they think are compliments that they're kind of like, oh, I'm really, it's really funny. It's like, yeah, the tight one. Yeah, you're really together. You're like, oh good. But yeah, nothing about the quality of the music. Yeah. No, just you rehearsed really hard.
It's amazing how one negative comment can drag you down. So it was just a one on email there saying, why do you not have the Anfield rap and more footy chat on in the morning?
It's like,
hang
on, us.
Give us a break, will you? How long have you, I know obviously your Formby bass and you and the other lads, Sam, Simon and Greg, make up the band. Did you really do most of your sort of formative years here in Liverpool, playing gigs here or elsewhere?
We did actually, because those previous bands I was talking about, we were based in Manchester at the time, and I really didn't realise there was such a it sounds kind of silly, but I didn't realise there was such a good music scene going on in Liverpool. I thought it was, you know, mainly kind of tribute acts and things like that.
Beatles acts,
yeah. You know, the kind of, not, you know, not to take anything away
from
that.
No, not in a bad way, not, just the perception of it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and so we moved here and just met a lot of like-minded musicians and, yeah, like Chris from Harm and Silent Sleep. Yeah, and it was great. And for the first time in my life, I felt like a real sense of community, and I felt like the bands that we were playing on bills with were actually suitable rather than, you know, because often, you know, promoters will put together these lineups and it's just ridiculous. And, you know, one band plays and their fans, you know, as soon as they've played, they leave because they're just not interested in the next band's music.
How to make you feel great if you're after them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Stadium empties.
Yeah, the best thing a band will sometimes actually do is play and then say before the last song, okay, we'll all meet in Largo in 10 minutes. And you're watching going, yeah, we're on after you, mate, but cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Gibbo, how would you describe Married to the Scene? Well, you've seen them, presumably, live a few
absolutely.
Times.
They played at my wedding.
Really?
So, yeah. Married to the Scene, my favourite band in Liverpool.
When did they play at your wedding?
Well, late.
No, not when was your wedding? What time did they come on and
late.
What were they doing?
Went drunk.
Yeah, I was so drunk.
Yeah? You were as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So they came on late, but they're a pop band, I would say. They're very catchy. You know, it's real kind of uplifting stuff. I know you want to come on and talk about lyrics in a second, but Nick's one of my favourite lyricists of you know, anywhere around. Really, really, really good kind of writing about, finding new ways about writing about love and relationships and things like that is actually really hard to do because you'd have thought that everyone had said everything there is to say, mm-hmm. but Nick kind of does manage to find new ways in it and really good. And I love going to see them and I can't wait to when they next play.
All right, introduce your song. We'll play it now, Nick. Your latest EP.
So
the title track.
The title track. So this song is called Cold War Love.
Anything to say about it?
Well, thanks, John, for bigging up my lyrics. But I'll just quickly say about this that it's kind of about that point in a relationship where you kind of, you know how to upset one another, but you're not doing it, but you're kind of letting it be known that you know that to the other person. So you get stuck in like a Cold War kind of situation.
That's really good with Valentine's Day just ahead.
Yeah, so romantic.
Here we go. Cold War Love. That's Married to the Sea. That's great. That's absolutely great.
Yeah.
Out now. You can get it on how?
Well, it's actually the it's getting released digitally on March the 11th. So that'll be across all the digital formats.
So actually, you can't get it straight away. You're going to have to wait for that.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait for that. But there will be a physical release shortly after that. We're going to do a kind of launch night in Liverpool. And then I think there'll be a CD copy for all those people who, you know, behind the times.
We're putting that out on SoundCloud. Is that all right? Not the interview or not. You better tell us.
That's absolutely fine. That's great.
Just promote it a little bit more. Just tell us about the wedding. A bit more, obviously, because let's go.
Well, Mounted the Sea played at my wedding, and we were just laughing about it while that song was playing.
So, Mrs. Gibbon, Laura,
Mrs. Gibbons, Laura, my darling wife, planned all the day and planned everything, like the flowers and everything, and what we're gonna have to eat in the venue. And then, basically, after 7 o'clock, I just turned it into a massive gig. So, like, invited loads of bands to play, had DJs, and yeah, it just kind of forgot you were at a wedding a little bit, but in a really, really good way. Everyone had a brilliant time.
That's like a dream day for you. What did you play at his wedding?
Well, funnily enough, we played a couple of Bruce Springsteen songs, I think.
Yeah,
a bit of David Bowie.
Yeah,
yeah,
all the hits.
This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport, and talk for Liverpool.